Hey, it's David Perdue from MyNAMS.com, Novice to Advanced Marketing System. And this is part two of our email marketing mastery course that we're putting together today. We had an outstanding morning this morning. I thought we learned a ton, and I don't think I've ever gotten that much content packed into an hour and 45 minutes from somebody as we did with Terry. That was a ton of information. So make sure you, if you haven't listened to the first part, make sure you listen to that first part because and watch the video because it was extremely good. Just to review a second here, a couple of things that Terry said, and I'm not going to go through all the stuff he said because, like I said, it is a ton of information. But he gave us a bunch of tips about and a bunch of ideas about email marketing and why it's so important. And one of those is that your income generally increases when you incorporate email marketing into your business exponentially. So, you know, you in my case, I can always look at my accounting and see the days that I have sent out offers via email. So what does that tell me that I need to do? In my case, it means that I need to have more consistent offerings on a rolling launch basis. It means that I need to have better autoresponder systems in place where people have the opportunity to buy as they come in over time. It tells me a lot of stuff about the way that I set up my business. Now, I'm in the internet marketing niche. And you may not be in a niche that will support, as Terry said, support daily emails. It may be a niche that will support twice a week, let's say, or a newsletter once a week. I think he said, though, that the minimum is like two, that he would recommend doing two emails a week at least. So his experience, by the way, if you remember, is that he has a lot of clients in non-internet marketing niches and some offline niches, chiropractics, golf, those kind of things is what he talked about quite a bit. Let's see, what else did he bring up that we wanted to make sure that we follow up on? So, I got into the best practices. I'm just making sure that I have captured everything that we want to so far. When we got into the best practices, we talked a long time about knowing your audience. He gave some incredible tips for how to determine who your audience is and what they need and want from you. I was really interested to hear in the surveys because I didn't bring this up at the time because I didn't want to break his pace because he was going through so much. But I, in March of last year, of 2013, did a survey to my buyers. I got a 42% response from my buyers on my list. And I went to Terry with the information that we gathered, and it was quite a bit of information. I sorted it and went to Terry with it. And as I said earlier, Terry is the person I work with to help me build my business as a coach. And Terry went through that information with me and said, this is a gold mine. Having data that is from your customers, your paying customers, telling you what they want, what they like, who they are, is worth its weight in gold. I mean, the survey, he uses surveys in almost everything he does. He speaks directly to customers. I do that at NAMS quite a bit. And I try to do that in between, but not as much. We do that on Hangouts as well. And he was saying the two tips that he wanted to go through with us today was finding subject lines and getting to know what the community wants through forums. He showed us how to do that. That was awesome. And then he also told us about how to go through Amazon to find niches and using reviews to find the language of your audience. So that was really a key takeaway as well. I'm not going to go through all of this stuff. We talked about email writing sessions, telling stories, making yourself different from the competition, improving your conversion. You spent a lot of time on that at the end, which I thought was really important because we can market to our people all day long. If we don't get them on the list, it doesn't help. And congruency and how important that part was. for building your list through email marketing. And you know, once you start looking at all of the courses that we do, we have done one on list building, we've done one on Google Analytics, we've done one on let's see, what else have we done? We've done several. We've done one on traffic. We have about 20 of them now. And I was thinking about this earlier during the break, is that these courses are building on one another. And you start using pieces from each of the courses to actually build a system that goes into depth in that area. So when we talk about email marketing, it's almost impossible to talk about email marketing without talking about building your list. Because, of course, if you don't have a list, you can't market with emails. It's almost possible to talk about email marketing without testing and without analytics, because you need to know what's happening with those emails that you send out, where the traffic is going, what they're getting, and what they're doing with your emails. So the next thing we're going to do today, we've got the dream state here. The way we always work these workshops, or the way we always do these workshops, is that we use our six-step process, which is dream, prototype, test, execute, feedback, and improve. Dream, prototype, test, execute, feedback, and improve. It's a circular process, even though we have it down here as a linear process. The dream is basically set up your vision. What's your vision for what you want to accomplish? We always try to ensure that we know what we're trying to accomplish before we jump into a topic. And I just wrote down a few little details around the dream area today based on what we were talking about. Our dream, the reason we're interested in email marketing, is to earn more money via email marketing. We're interested in earning more money online. The latest statistic that I have seen shows, and this was from, I think it was Forrester, or one of the big consulting firms, and I actually do think it was Forrester that I saw this, that for every dollar invested in email marketing, you can expect a $40 return. I'm going to say that again. For every dollar you invest in email marketing, you can expect a $40 return. That is an amazing return on investment. Every dollar invested in email marketing, expect a $40 return. Now, I'll look that up and make sure I've got that right. I'm pretty sure that's the number. I'm pulling that off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure that that number sticks, because that knocked me over when I saw that, when I read that, and that was from last year. So it is still the number one way to make money online through e-commerce, through your website, through any kind of marketing that you do online. Email marketing by far outweighs any other way. When you're doing social marketing, when you're doing video marketing, when you're doing all the things that seem to have that hot little buzz around them, remember, they pale in comparison to email marketing. Email marketing is where you're going to make the most money. And, you know, when you talk about marketing, I don't know about you, but marketing and sales go hand in hand. Marketing is building the relationship with prospects and customers, and sales is making conversions. And so when we try to combine those things, we have to learn, as Terry was telling us this morning, how to make a pitch with every email. And I know I absolutely hate that phrase, make a pitch. I like to think of it more as serving your readership by offering them something for value. And that's what we try to do through email marketing, through all of the services that we offer. Some people are going to take advantage of them, some people are not. But your goal as a business person is to serve as many people as possible and to increase your income as much as possible. So I don't want to dance around it too much, but sales is sales. You got to have sales. Email marketing is the number one way to do that. Okay? So our dream, our goal, our vision is to earn more money via email marketing. That's the purpose of this entire course that we've been doing today. And like I said, we started out with a bunch of great topics. So one of the things we're going to do is we're going to go through these three checklists that I have built. creating compelling subject lines, creating a stronger and more profitable bond with subscribers, and creating irresistible, did I spell irresistible right? Maybe. I'll have to check that too. Create irresistible offers to your targeted customers. These are short, so we're just going to click on these and go to the PDF. Now you can see these links out here. These links out here are, you'll get these in this product, and you can grab this list as well. Oh, thank you. I did misspell irresistible. Thanks, Roslyn. I appreciate that. I'll fix it. NAMS.WS/email subjects is the first one we're looking at. I'll put that in the chat box here. Let me just grab that link. Uh-oh, got it up twice now. I'll just do the other ones while I'm here. And this one is email offers. Okay. Let me see, where is... Yeah, okay. Okay, top 10 subject line tips, email subject line tips. This is a checklist, and I wanted to go through this with you quickly. The subject line, when I was in the newspaper business many years ago, I was in the newspaper business for about 20 years. I was an editor. And this is a little known trick, tip, whatever it is. But sometimes, especially in the feature world, not in the news world, but if you were a features editor or a sports editor or something like that, or an editorial page editor, a lot of magazine editors, a lot of folks would come up with a subject that they wanted to build a story around, a topic that they wanted to build a story around, and they would create a really juicy headline. I've been guilty of this myself. Create a really juicy headline and then write or have the story written around that headline. Now, that seems a little strange, but the truth is that the headline is the absolute most key thing that you can do when you're communicating via publication. And, you know, email, blogs, all of that, we're all publishers these days. We are all publishers and we are all editors. Having a headline that grabs your reader's attention is really important. I used to be really good at that. I'm still not terrible at it. I just don't spend enough time on it. Yeah, I don't. I violate my own rules sometimes. I write my emails and then try to drag a headline out of it sometimes. And that may seem like the right way to do it, but personally, I think if you've got a subject and you've got a headline that you think is really going to grab people, a subject line that's really going to grab people, then you want to focus your article to support that headline. Sometimes it won't do that. Sometimes it goes in a different direction. It's easier when you start with a subject line. If you noticed, I sent out an email between our two parts today about the laser workshop and about how people who purchased this laser workshop before it was finished would get a reduced price. And we try to do that with all of our laser workshops so that we get people into the system as quickly as possible. And we offer better value for people who are coming into the system and want to wait on the course to be completed. So I sent out the email today, and I thought as I was walking upstairs, I thought, wow, Terry really was talking fast in that first section. He is a very fast talker. But you don't want to miss any of the words that he's saying because they are incredibly valuable. And my fingers were actually hurting because I typed so fast during that first section and took so many notes that they were a little bit, I mean, I could feel that they were stiff and that I needed to exercise them and limber them up a little bit. So what came to my mind was, I think the headline was, my fingers are so numb. because I was typing so fast or something like that. I wonder if I have that here. I think I have my Gmail open. Maybe it's here. I don't see it. It's probably off my red page already. So, my point about that is that when you get a headline that kind of sticks and has a lot of pith to it, it is something that you want to latch on to and create, and you want to test, and you want to create an article around it. So the first tip is to keep those headlines short. I'm not very good at that. I try very hard to keep the headlines short. Thank you, Angie. My fingers are numb from typing so fast. That was what the headline was. My fingers are numb from typing so fast. And Candy said I didn't get that email from you about this. And the reason is, and I'm going to show you this at the end, we're going to send that email out again, and I'm going to show you how to send it to a targeted list at the end versus a broadcast to everybody. So remind me, and we're going to do that before we finish up today. The reason you didn't get that is because you're an insider. So insiders are going to get this course. I don't want you to buy this course. So I didn't send it to you. I only sent it to everybody who was not an insider. So, all right. So keeping it short, when it comes to an email subject line, less is more. The goal is to get the reader to open the email and read it, not give away everything from the start. Not giving away everything from the start means you don't put in the headline all of the tips that you're going to give through your email. And you don't give in the email all of the tips that you're going to give in your product. It's always a little bit of a breadcrumb from one step to the next step to the next step. Okay, so keep it short, but make it interesting. Avoid the spam triggers. This is pretty easy to do in AWeber, and I'm sure GetResponse is the same, and I believe One Shopping Cart was the same. I know that MailChimp is the same. They give you a spam indicator. I'm not sure about FeedBlitz, but when you go into AWeber, you get a score that tells you what your spam score is. One day I had 2 exclamation points in my subject line, and my spam score was like 6, because 2 exclamation points is a huge indicator. So if you're over 5 in your spam score, that's too much. And so I went back and took one of the exclamation points out, and it dropped to like 0.5. So it was cool. And so you can use, use your tool, your autoresponder tool, to help you keep your spam score under 5. And actually, if it's over a 1.6 here or 1.5, that is, you shouldn't be over that for any reason, really. And you'll find out that free and dollars in the subject line don't really hurt you as much as you might think they would. That used to be a big no-no, was to put free. You remember, people used to do free with fr.ee and things like that, and try to misspell things so that they didn't trigger the spam stuff. That was craziness, and it's it's better now. Okay, use numbers. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Terry said that numbers don't work as well as they used to, but they still work incredibly well. So like 3 mistakes that I made this week, or 3 of the top reasons you'll want to, or why I'm the top 7 reasons why I go to this place for vacation, or, you know, whatever it is. Or, you know, I'm going to send out one for a webinar that I'm doing next week. I'm doing the weekly live training next week in our system, and it's going to be on how I got 272% increased views from unique users on the website. We're going to focus on that. How I got 272% increased views from unique users, visitors on our website. 272% is going to get a lot of attention. When you can add a number in there that gets a lot of attention, that's going to help you get your subjects your subject line and your email opened. So use numbers and drive in combination with benefits and curiosity, like he said. That'll be helpful too. Create a sense of urgency. the reader doesn't read your email soon as it's received, chances are he won't read it at all. That's why it's good to create a sense of urgency with the subject line. When I'm really on the last day of a promotion, you often see at the top that I start it with time sensitive, colon. Open this before da 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 to take advantage of this. If time sensitive always gets more opens for me. If I do time sensitive, people realize I'm serious. It's going away. So this is a really good tip, is to add something to the email subject line that says, open this before midnight tonight, or this goes away at midnight tonight, or whatever it is. You know, whatever it is, just make sure that you are, or there's only 10 copies left. Or we had 100, now we've got 3. So those kind of things can cause people to open it fast. The tip, by the way, if the reader doesn't read your email as soon as it's received, chances are he won't. I think that's true, but I also see people buying a lot of stuff that I sent through the week on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So sometimes what I do, I think they wait until the weekend sometimes to go back and just wade through their email. That may work for some folks, and I'm not going to turn that away, but the bulk of the sales happen when the email is opened. And so that's what you want to focus on, is getting that email opened as soon as possible. Be clear. Sometimes an air of mystery can work to your advantage, but in most cases, readers want to know what an email is about up front. So I like mysterious subject lines. I like subject lines that you have to click to figure out what they're talking about. Now, I can carry that too far. Sometimes people don't have a clue, and it's not clever enough. There's not enough curiosity, and they don't click on it. So I have to rein that back in. But I also don't want to tell them exactly what it's about in the subject line, because I don't want them to make the decision without reading the copy. I want them to make a decision later. Okay, make it timely. I think you could write some emails that would be in right now about the healthcare.gov site and the troubles that they're having. I could probably write 30 emails about the experiences they're going through, because I know what they're going through with a website that doesn't work. If you have a website that doesn't work, or hasn't ever worked, or you've been frustrated or frustrated your customers with that kind of stuff, you know what they're going through. So you could write emails about that as well, and it would be timely. It would not have a long shelf life. Those emails would be broadcast only, because hopefully healthcare.gov will get fixed, and those emails in a year won't be appropriate. But if you wrote an email about Thanksgiving, or about Christmas, or about Black Friday, or about Valentine's Day, or about spring gardening, whatever it is, you know that those emails are timely, because there's going to be a news event every time that rolls around. That is if you plan on, holidays are great things to schedule your emails around. You can probably find 50 to 60 holidays a year that you can write emails around. And you can build your autoresponder system around those stories that you can predict that are going to happen. So that's a good thing to do too. But if you really want to get people to open it up today, be controversial about a news thing that is going on right now. Focus on benefits. One of the most important rules of copywriting is to focus on the benefits that your product offers the customer. This can also be applied to email subject lines. So in the subject line, you don't have to say what the benefits are, but you could say something about the three benefits of, da 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 da. We're going to look at Rosalind's email that she sent me a minute ago, Rosalind's email, or maybe Rosaline. Email that she sent today as part of the exercise, and we're going to talk about her subject line and some of the email going on in there as well. And nice job, Rosaline. That email is a good story. Okay, be controversial. Don't be afraid of stirring up a little controversy. It's a great way to pique the reader's interest. even if he doesn't agree with your stance. So Terry talked a lot about this. I'm not going to cover this. He's a master of controversy, and I've started incorporating these kind of harsh headlines in my blog posting as well. So I think my favorite one in the last month is why I won't promote your product. That is getting a lot of attention. Why I won't promote your product is one of my headlines on one of my blog posts this month. And of course, it's all about why I will promote your product. But the headline gets people's attention. And by the way, that started as an email. I sent that out as an email. And it is it's a subject line that I really liked as well. Avoid cheap tricks. Boy, I hate this. You've probably gotten these emails too that start with, what is the, you've got money, or whatever that line is from PayPal. You know, when people send you an email from, or when you get an email from PayPal, sometimes it is you've got money, or whatever other people send you about, you know, you've got a commission, or whatever it is. That's just a dirty trick, because then you open it up and it says, wouldn't you love to get more emails like this? They all start the same way. Wouldn't you love to get more emails that say you have more commissions? Well, that may be true, but to trick you into opening the email by making you think you got a commission is just short of a hacker's attempt. I would never trust anything like that, because hackers use those kind of tricks to get into your system as well, and I would be very careful about that. Don't do it. That's the point. Test your subject line. There's no foolproof formula for creating the perfect subject line. Tactics that work for one marketer may be all wrong for another. So it's important to test your subject lines to determine what works best for your specific audience. So how do you test your subject lines? You can actually split test, if you want, through your tool like AWeber, or maybe a split tester that you're using on your site. One of the things that I would suggest you do for testing subject lines is to create little PPC ads and run the PPC ads with those subject lines to see what kind of response click-through you're getting on the PPC ads. That would be like AdWords or Bing advertising, or those kind of things. That used to be a really good technique until it got a little more expensive on AdWords to do that. Now, probably a better way to do it is send an email to split test inside AWeber or GetResponse, and to send an email and then just watch your open rates. See how your open rates go. One of the other things about subject lines, or not subject lines, I'm sorry, about testing your email is to test the times of your email delivery. I have found that three times work for email delivery for me, and it seems to be reaching different audiences. So I send an email early in the morning, I send one at lunchtime, and I send one in the evening around 5 to 6 if I'm sending multiple emails that day. If I'm sending one email, I'll show you the trick that I use now to only send to unopens at different times in the day. So the people that didn't open it in the morning will open later in the day. Okay. All right. That's it for the subject lines checklist. That's something for you to review and use as you go through your system, as you're writing your emails. Let's look at creating that bond that we want to focus on. Okay, so remember Terry said this morning that you got to have a reason for writing your emails. Building a good relationship is not a reason for writing your emails. You have to have a more specific reason that causes your reader to take an action, right? The underlying goal, though, all along the way, is to create a bond, a deeper bond, with your subscribers. And so everything you do should be bringing those people it should be helping those people love you even more, or moving away. You don't want to clutter up your life with people who don't want what you have, right? So you really do want to eliminate as much as you want to add. Subtraction is a really good business tool. So put it out there, be yourself, and attract the people that you can relate to. And you do that with email and communication, right? So that's one of the really important things that we should talk about here. So these are just some tips on how to incorporate into your emails the kind of things that will encourage readers to create more of a bond with you. Ask what you can do for them. Asking readers for suggestions for future mailings, let them know that their needs are important to you. And when they respond, it gives you the information you need to create more relevant and targeted campaigns. I really wish I did more of this. I ask people all the time in our Facebook groups, and I ask in other forums. I don't do it much with email. And to tell the truth, one of the reasons I don't do it much with email is because I get so much email that I don't want to be overwhelmed by responses to a question in email. But I do have a survey software that I would use, and I love the survey software that I use, and we could actually be doing a lot more surveys to find out more about how we could help our people get what they need, and we will definitely need to be adding more of that into our email sequence. So I love the way Terry is doing his email survey as part of his autoresponder series. So we may do exactly the same thing. In fact, I'm going to say this to you. You got some great templates today from Terry. You got a great checklist, and you're getting some good templates and checklists from us as well as we go through the day here. Don't stray too far from the templates that you got. One of the issues that I've always had as a former journalist is that I like to write from scratch. I like to be different. I like for my writing to be not templated, in other words. And I can get so much more done if I just follow the directions that somebody else gives me that is already working. There's no reason for me to reinvent the wheel. I can always tweak it some, but let's start with the template and see how that works. And then use that as the control when you're doing your test to improve on that. So that little comment is going to show up in Rosaline's email as well a little bit later. So let's take a look. Okay, take questions. Another way to get your subscribers more involved is to ask them to send in their questions. I love doing this on Facebook. I love doing it in the other arenas. I also get these via email. And we get a lot of these in our support desk. And I love that about our support desk. We can create FAQs, and the FAQs can become articles, and the articles can become blog posts and emails. So you can reuse all of those questions really address. If one person's got a question, more than likely a lot more people on your list have that question and didn't ask it. So use that. Invite them to connect through social media. I've already mentioned Facebook a couple of times. We've got good Facebook groups where we get a lot of social integration and action, and we're moving into Google Plus quite a bit as well. So you're going to see a lot more of that with us. We're focusing more on social interaction as well. Continue the discussion. Send your reader to an excerpt or a brief synopsis of your latest post along with a link where they can read and comment. So one of the things you'll see a lot in emails, and I notice Terry doesn't do it very much, but a lot of other folks do, is they give you the email and it says, if you want to read this on the web, click this link. Now, I can tell you why Terry doesn't do it. Because when he's got you in the channel of email, he wants you to do one thing, and that's to click the link to the sales page. That's a really smart strategy. Really smart strategy. Click the link to the sales page. If you clutter up your email with too many different links that go to too many different places, people miss your sales page, and that hurts your conversions tremendously. But if you have a way for people to send you comments or comment on a site or a blog post, and it's not going to interfere with your conversions because of your linking that you're doing in that email, then go ahead and do it. Link to YouTube. So this tip is about putting your face in front of people so they know who you are. You all know what I look like by my picture, because I put my picture on just about everything. And it has been the same picture for the last 7 years, I think. For the last 7 years. And when you see me in YouTube, on our Hangouts, or in person even, people know who I am because they've gotten used to my face. And one of the things you want to do, even though you may have a business that is about something else, you want people to get to know you and become comfortable with you and personal with you. And it takes that personal interaction through the computer, because we're not really sitting here at a computer talking to other people on computers. We're having conversations. And if you can add your face to the conversation via YouTube, that's a really good technique to use and keep in mind. That's one of the reasons we're using Google Hangouts so much, is to improve the relationships that we have with people, the personal relationships that we have with people. And I like that a lot. Use their comments. When people give you comments on your blog post, pay attention, respond. And you can use those comments in the email. The email that I did send out today talked about how this morning we had this great conversation with Terry for the first hour and 45 minutes, and that he walked us through a bunch of techniques that showed us how to improve our subject lines and do a lot of different things. And I said, in fact, Art said, just the tip on the forums was worth this entire call. And so I used that comment from Art to go out in that email to bring more social proof and to bring more reality to the situation. Private webinar invites, exclusive events. We're talking about improving your relationships here. So having private web exclusive events are great for creating a deeper bond with customers. Webinars are a good way. And you know that I personally like Google Hangouts for this. It's becoming a really good tool for me. Thanks, Art. I do appreciate it. Yes. Art says, you're welcome, David, for the quote. So yes, I do appreciate that. Okay, exclusive discounts. Want to increase your sales and make your subscribers feel special at the same time? Offer them an exclusive discount on your products or services. You know, the insiders get a 65% discount on every course that we have. We have a coupon that is specifically for insiders to get a 65% discount on every course that we have. That's a discount that's not available anywhere else. So, you know, that's something I'm trying to do to make sure that insiders know how much I value them. We have this new monthly tutorials program that we're doing, tutorial email system, tutorial emails that we. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't get this out right. We have a monthly program of tutorials, and we are selling those to the rest of our membership, the rest of our list, and to anybody else out in the world who wants to buy them for $17 to $27. Our insiders get those for free. So that is a way to say, insiders, you're special to us. Personalized offers. I don't do this very well. In fact, I'm terrible about this. I would really like to have a system in place where I could do this better, but I'm really not good at this one. Special offer for birthdays. I know the reason I have this on here is because I love getting these. I love going to Starbucks and getting my free birthday drink or food. I love getting a reward after I have 12 coffees at Starbucks. I get a free one. I love people telling me on Facebook, happy birthday. I love getting notifications from forums that I belong to, happy birthday. When you can collect special personal information from people, use it. it's really important to honor those folks, and I need to do a better job at this. Surveys, we talked about the surveys. The survey gives you a really good insight into your subscribers, and it's a great opportunity for you to engage with them and offer them something really sweet. I think when we did our survey, the reason we got such a good return rate was because response rate was because I offered a $97 coupon for anything in our system. So that was a great way for me to give back to them. Terry has an even better way, as he described earlier in part one today. And that was, he offers three back issues that are a $97 value of his membership newsletter for, I think it was $27. So they got like a $70 discount. And I've got a stack of his newsletters right here beside me. There's about eight of them here right beside me. And I want to tell you, Terry's newsletters, I don't know how he writes this every month. It's 16 pages, and it's incredibly in-depth material on a specific topic. So it's an unbelievable amount of writing and effort. And he writes these. He does a great job with them, too. So that was a sweet deal that he did. I was very impressed with that one and thought maybe I could be doing the same kind of thing. Why not? That's another thing. When you learn something from somebody else, use it. And that's what we're going to do here. That's why we're doing this course. Okay? So you're going to get that as well. Let's see. I'm closing stuff down. I might need that. Leave that open. Okay. Irresistible offers to your customers via email. Okay, this is a checklist as well that we're going through now. You should be, I hope you've downloaded these PDFs. If you have any trouble downloading, in fact, if you would, confirm that you have downloaded these PDFs and can get them. I want to make sure that the permissions are set right on my hosting service and all that stuff. So if you've already downloaded these, okay, great. Candy says she got all three. Excellent. Okay, so these are... sorry, I'm reading the questions here. Good, everybody's got them. Barb says, yes, she's got them and already in a notebook. Excellent, Barb. that's the way I use checklists as well. I keep them right beside my or on my desk so that I can reach to them. And I also keep them in a folder. These are for now, Art. These are new. These checklists are new. You have the two that we got this morning from Terry. I put those in the chat box. Let me drop them here in the question box, too, so you can see those. This is the one we're looking at now. Okay. And let's see. And email subjects is the last one. Okay. You should have all those now. If you haven't downloaded them already, please get those. All right. Top 10 tips for making email offers. Make it worthwhile and useful. Send targeted users targeted offers that the reader can use. If you send offers that are of no interest to him personally, not only will he not take advantage of them, but he might decide to unsubscribe. Okay, this is a double-edged sword, this whole thing what we're talking about here. One is, if you're sending offers out and you have people on your list, you obviously should be sending them things that they want. If you are sending people we'll use Rosaline's as an example. She has a list of people, or she has a product that she is going to be selling about skincare. She would not be sending those people an offer about growing tomatoes, right? You got to send the audience that you're wanting to groom and build a relationship with an offer about something they've told you they're interested in. So if somebody tells you that they're interested in email marketing, you don't necessarily want to send them an offer on how to become a web host. You know, that's the reason that we have multiple lists. So we know what people are interested in by the way they respond to your emails. Okay. Descriptive subject line, we talked about that already. There are times when a vague or mysterious subject line work. But we've talked about that enough, so you understand that one. The urgency we talked about as well. This can be in your offer as well. It's not only in the subject line, but in the offer as well, in the email. The email I sent out today about this course, people can buy this course for $47 until tomorrow, because it's going to go up tomorrow when I get the sales letter up and have the course completed tomorrow. And tomorrow it'll be $97. So I told them that in the email, that if they buy it today, it's $47. They have to purchase it, though, straight to the cart. There's no sales letter. So the redirect link that I sent them is straight to the cart with just a description of what the course is. They have to believe that the course... We're going to have a handful of people on our list who have our other courses and think David does a great job with courses. I need to get this one. And those people will buy without seeing sales letter. And then there's the other people who will say, well, I'm not going to buy it because I want to know what it is. And that's okay too, but they're going to pay more. Don't overwhelm. Emails containing offers should be fairly short and to the point. If you bury the offer at the end of a 1,000-word article, it's unlikely that your readers will make it that far. So remember that. That's an important point. When I write a long email, it's because I'm writing an email about a story. And you will never see a long email from me that doesn't have a link in the top third of the story. Because they may, in fact, you'll see it with three or four links in it, so they can click anyway along the way as they're reading the story. Target your offers. When you make an offer, it's tempting to send it to your entire mailing list. Boy, this is so true. I'm going to show you exactly how we can avoid this and do a better job of this when we get into the AWeber section later. Send offers to customers who have shown interest in what you're offering or similar products or services. Lure them in with anticipation. This is something I have got to get a lot better at. When we have for example, we have December deals coming in about 2 weeks, and I haven't mentioned it to my list that December deals is coming. December deals is one of our biggest months. Is our second biggest month of the year, because we do a daily offer in December, and it's great for our affiliates. Our affiliates love it. We get a ton of traffic. It's probably the most traffic we get all year. And our email list churns a lot because some people don't like getting all the emails that we send. We're going to cut down on our emails in this December, but we're also going to target and focus those emails in a way that I'm going to show you a little bit later today, so people won't get as many emails as they did last year. But I need to be sending emails this week that says December deals is coming and here are some of the things we're going to sell during December this year. You really want to be on this list. And let them sign up for the December deals list. Now, the December deals list, I don't send just the December deals to the December deals list, but this tells me that these are people who really want to hear from me during this entire month. Make it exclusive. An offer that isn't available to just anyone has a way of making the recipient feel special and making him want to take advantage of, take advantage of that or grab it while it's available. So an example is the Terry survey that I told you about. I wish I could play that for you so you could see how it worked. When you get on his list, you'll get it. As he said today, I think it was email 16. You take the survey, and when you get that email, be sure you do that because the marketing lesson in that email is awesome. You click the survey. You give him three or four answers from the survey. It's a very simple survey and a very nice little piece of technology. Then you go to a video on the thank you page that says, these are the early results. Now, I thought that I had gotten a broadcast from Terry. I swear I did. I should have known better, but I did. So I get caught up in these things too sometimes because these are early results from the survey. Well, they were early results from the survey. And I have to tell you, I thought, wow, this is really sharp, that he sent out this survey yesterday and he's already got a few responses and he wants to tell me about the responses, so he's not letting any time waste. And when he told us today that it was part of the autoresponder series, I thought, God, that's even more brilliant, because now it feels completely timely, completely new, and completely personal to me. So when he got to the end of, and it was a 30-minute video, and when he got to the end of the video, it said, as a way to thank you for taking this survey, I'm going to offer you 3 of my back issues, $98 value, for $27, and it's my thank you gift to you. And I already have those issues sitting right here on my desk that he was offering, and I thought, wow, this is a great deal. I should buy this. I didn't, but it was $27 for these surveys, and I was just so impressed with it's $27 for these back issue reports, and I was so impressed that he was able to, one, make me think that I should give him $27 as a thank you gift. It was really cool the way it worked, and it worked very well. But if you study these marketing funnels, as a marketer, you're going to learn a lot of things that'll work for you too. That's one of those. Make it exclusive and make it personal. So this is only available to me because I was taking this survey, and anybody else who took the survey. So it felt exclusive. Tell a story. While you don't want to get too wordy in offer email, telling a story is a good while you don't want to get too wordy in an offer email, telling a story is a good way to draw the reader in and avoid special offer fatigue. Connect things in your personal life to your offer. I used to do a lot of this, and I used to do a lot better job of this. I still love to do this. This taps into my journalistic bent. And I share a lot about my my own life. We used to have beaver dams here. We still have beaver dams. But now that we have a lake behind the house, a lot of them are covered up. But we still have beavers. And so I used to write about beavers all the time. And how amazed I was at the way the beavers would continue to work and how they solved problems and all that kind of stuff. And people actually told me they got really interested in knowing what was going on with the beavers. So you know, I should pull some of those out and use those as autoresponder messages. Focus on the click. You put a lot of work into your sales page. It's designed to tell the reader what your product can do for him or her and make him want to buy. That means there's no need to try to make the sale in your offer email. Just get them to click. So what you're selling in an email is the click. You don't want them to be convinced to purchase in the click. Or in the email, that's great, but you want them to be convinced that they need to read more in the email. You want them to click over to read more, see what it's really about. So that's a different kind of sales letter, sales approach. What that is more of a curiosity, more of a, here's 5 benefits, here's 2 of 5 benefits to see the other 3, click over here, those kind of things. You have to really focus on selling that click. And the last thing is follow-up. One of the most common mistakes marketers make when making an offer is failing to follow up. While it's important not to wear an offer out, you'll want to remind subscribers about the offer before it expires. We touched on this morning. One of my previous coaches said that if they never send less than 3 emails about an offer, because the first one's going to get you about 10% of your sales, the second one's going to get you about 15% of your sales, and the last one is going to get you the rest of your sales. So that would be another 75% of your sales. So if you don't send that last email on the deadline time, like 4 to 6 hours before the event closes, then you're going to lose a ton of sales. You know, if I'm doing a sale that ends at midnight, you're going to see one from me between 7 and 8. And if it's really going well, you're going to see another one from me about 10 o'clock. And I'm going to say, and I'm talking Eastern time, about 10 o'clock, because I'm going to say, you know, people are just eating this up and it's going away in 2 hours. And I'm just going to kind of feed on that momentum to get people to continue purchasing. Okay, so we have covered these 3 checklists fairly well. Now, we're going to jump into the prototyping section here. You have any questions so far about what we've covered so far? Any comments about this or any questions? I'm taking a drink of water, so you guys type in there if you've got one. Okay, good. Good. Moving on. Prototyping. We have broadcast and we have autoresponders. And we didn't talk about the difference today. We kind of assumed you know what the difference is today. Broadcasts are emails that you send out as one-time emails, and you send it out to be sent, you know, like you can schedule it for any time using your scheduler in AWeber or GetResponse or MailChimp or any of the others. But you, once it's gone, it's gone. It's not something that you are throwing into, that's not going to be sent again. It's only sent the one time. Autoresponders are emails that are continually sent as follow-up. And I like to call these consumption emails. It helps people consume the product, and it helps people to understand what they've got, why it was important, how to get the value of it, because you want people to use the things that you're selling so that they can, one, get the value, two, appreciate the relationship with you, and three, come back to you with testimonials and things like that. So yeah, there's a whole web of reasons there that they need to happen. And I really encourage you to use templates on this prototype thing that we're talking about. So I'm going to go over, Rosaline sent an email that she wrote during the break, and we're going to go over it and look at this and look at Terry's template as well that we asked you to write from. Now, Rosaline started with that template. I don't think she finished with that template, and I'm going to point it out. And Rosaline, thank you for doing this and for letting your email be evaluated by us here, but it is, and it won't be painful at all. It is, you did a really nice job on the email. I just wanted to point out the differences between the two. Maybe if I can get it up here. Where did it go? Oh, I've got two. I got it all on the same browser. Let me get it in two browsers. Okay. There's his template. Now I want to get her Word document. That's what I want. Come on. Why is that coming up? That's weird. There it is. Should have had this arranged before. Sorry. Okay. Yes, Rosaline says, thank you. Be kind. This is my first attempt. Let me tell you, for a first attempt, it's really good. So you can start with that. Now, one of the things that I cautioned you against earlier was feeling like you wouldn't use the template. You don't want to use the template. Trying to make it your own, trying to be, you know, original. I do that as well. It's one of my worst characteristics. Templates are so much easier to work with, and you can always build on those. So remember, this is what his email looked like. This is what Terry's email looked like. It was the Q&A template. Subject line, loads of questions have been coming in about email marketing. Today I decided to take some time out to answer them. And away we go. Here's the question. Here's the answer. Question, answer, question, answer. Okay, so Rosaline's subject line is, do you feel like tearing your hair out? Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. Then join the club. This to me is a turnoff right there already, because you're asking me to join something. And if I'm getting an email right off the top where somebody is asking me to join something, I'm thinking, do I want to read the rest of this? Do I have time? Do I want to spend the money to join something? Probably not. Click away. So that would be the first place where I would lose somebody right there. join the club. You're not alone would be better. You're not alone. I get loads of questions about how to best treat and cope with scalp psoriasis. Terry's topic here, or his take on that, was loads of questions have been coming in about email marketing. You added, I get loads of questions about how best to treat and cope with scalp psoriasis. One of the things you're going to find, and I see it already, I do this too, and it's something I have to go back and change every time I write an email. I. What was that? 7 times? 1, 2. Oh, there's 1, 2. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 times on the first page, we're using I. Do you see that anywhere over here on his first page? Right here. Today I decided to answer them. There's another one. 3, 4, and 5. So there are quite a few I's there, but they don't stand out because they're not at the front of the paragraph. This is the hardest thing, is not to start every sentence with I. And you have to be really careful about that. Because then the reader thinks it's all about you. What does this have to do with me? And that's what we're trying to do in these emails, is talk about their problem. We're helping them solve their problem. But on the other hand, Terry told us, and we know this from email marketing, is that stories really sell, and they have to be personal stories. So you want to write an article, write an email that is personal, but with using I as little as possible. So be very careful with that. Now, this is where you kind of go away from the, not kind of, you go away from the template completely here. Psoriasis anywhere on the body is a real pain and you know what. But as you know only too well, scalp psoriasis is in a league of its own. Yes, the usual troubles are flakes, soreness, itch. So you went right into it, what it is. You didn't answer any questions. You didn't ask any questions. I get loads of questions about how to best treat and cope with scalp psoriasis. So I'm going to help you ask some questions here. Okay? As you know only too well, scalp psoriasis is in a league of its own. Let's say, question. Spell it right. Question. Do you really know what psoriasis, A-S-I-S, is? Okay. Answer. Even if they do know it, even if you're assuming they do know it, the Q&A is a specific template, and you want to use that Q&A. Because, let me tell you why. When you get a template from somebody like Terry, why you want to use it? It's because he's tested the heck out of this. This works. So we know that this works. And you want to do what works, and then you use that as your control as you go forward. So negotiating the bumps, brushing your hair, used to do strange, just in case. And this is really good because you're getting into the story here of what it is. I used to brush my shoulders constantly. I felt bad, or cry, or both. Yes, I've constantly. Did you have to remind me that everyone else was seeing them too? I nicknamed. This gets a little long. Your email, by the way, was 632 words, I think it was, which is a little long for, especially if this is the first email on your in your series. Okay. Question. Let's just I'm going to say this as does dandruff shampoo solve the problem? Rosaline, if you wouldn't mind, type in the question box here what you think the purpose of your email is. I think I know what the purpose of it is, but I want to make sure that everybody understands what the purpose of your email is here. If you don't mind, type that in the question box. The purpose of your email. Okay, and this would be the answer then, is I used to use it myself, and I don't know what you have. It seems flakes equal dandruff shampoo. Okay. Okay, rose care is made from wild iris seed. Okay, there. Question number three. Answer. Pretty simple, because you've already started the answer there. There will be, okay, good. Okay, so see, I was afraid of this. I don't think you know what the purpose of your email is. Rosaline says, I'm trying to let people know I have the experience of skin problems, gaining affinity. That's a technique in your email. The purpose of your email is to sell Rosecara. That's the purpose, to get people to buy this product. And we have to be really clear on what we're doing. And you can almost always, if you are selling products online, you are almost always, the purpose of your email is to sell the product to the customer. And you do it by using different techniques. This technique is a Q&A technique. You're also telling stories about yourself in here. That's a second technique. And you're giving them valuable information, which is the third technique in this same email. So what is Rosecara? The answer is Rosecara is made from wild iris seaweed. You go into what that is, what it does for you. These are the benefits. Moisturizes the scalp. Additional benefit, it really reduces the itch factor. So I would highlight these bad boys to make sure that, one, you see them, and to also make sure that your reader sees them. Because to this point, you haven't really told us what the benefit of this is. You're just getting into it now. So, nutrients to your scalp. Moisturizes the scalp, reduces scales, really reduces the itch factor. And then here is your offer, right? So you basically have asked three questions. Okay, so we could actually ask a fourth question here. How do you get Rosecara? Answer. Oops. I'm delighted to offer you Rosecara to treat and beat your scalp psoriasis naturally. It retails for there's the price. This would last about a month. Does not smell like polytar solutions. That's a great benefit, by the way. A lot of the stuff that that we put on our head that is medicated shampoo smells like a freshly tarred road. Exactly what you say. So I'd highlight that too, because that's a benefit. Doesn't stain clothing, that bedding, all that stuff. Reduced price, next 48 hours. Good. There's some urgency, a discount, and there's an even more discount right there if you order before midnight and you really take action. You can get another pound off. Okay? Please don't tear your hair out. Let Rose Care help. I look forward to shipping your order. And here's your guarantee. So that's pretty good. So you see how easy it is to stick to the template, and actually it makes it skimmable, which is really important because you want to catch people's attention. A lot of folks will tell you that some of the reading habits, especially in longer emails, is people read the subject line, then they scroll to the bottom, and they look at the PS, and then they come back and they skim the email. Am I interested in this? Do I know what psoriasis is? Well, not really. Let me read part of this and figure it out. Okay, yep, I got that. Does dandruff shampoo? I thought dandruff shampoo worked for that. Why doesn't dandruff shampoo work for that? Let's read this. Okay, so, this stuff, huh? Rose care. I wonder what that is. Let's skim down. Oh, it does these things. Nutrients for the scalp, moisturizes the scalp, reduces the scales. It really reduces the X factor. So now I'm skimming this, and I'm only picking out benefits and curiosity. That becomes one big blur, and we pick out the real things that we want to jump out at us and get people in to reading this, so that they get down to the offer as well. So remember, your purpose is to sell product. Almost always. Is this helpful? Going through this email. Anybody else have an email that they wanted to submit? Did anybody else submit an email that they wanted me to go over? Okay. Angie, I assume you checked in there to see if we had anything else, and I assume we do not have another email from somebody. Okay, good. So what we're going to do with this email... what we're going to do is in the Insiders group, if you want to submit an email in the Insiders group, we're going to do a lot of this next month, by the way, during the challenge. But if you want to submit your email in the Insiders group, let's take a look at your efforts there, and let's make sure we get you in the right spot with your email writing and communicating great subject lines and understanding your purpose and moving forward with email in the right way. Okay? So now I want to look at some technical stuff. Let me clear this out. And Rosaline, I hope you don't mind, but I'll include this email as an example for our people who are in this course and in the Insiders group. And if you put a link in here, we'll actually get them to your site, because you don't have a link in here. And give me that link, and we will put it in here as well, and it'll be helpful to you just to get this, maybe drive a little more traffic to you. That will be the benefit of submitting stuff when we have these courses. Okay. So Rosaline is saying, what length would you suggest for emails? If you remember correctly, Terry said this one for him was a little long. That was 2 pages. And it was 5 questions, and he did pretty short answers on the questions. You combined some of the techniques here specifically that he talked about, such as your own story, your origin story kind of thing. You could cut down on that for a Q&A kind of email and really cut this back. You want it to be as long as it needs to be. And when you are reading this, or you having somebody else read it, find out from them where they wander. You know, when they start reading this and they wander away from your email, or they get confused, or they have a question, or whatever it is, that's where you need to start cutting it back. So you want to make sure that either you cut it back, tighten it up. Remember, subtraction is our friend here. Edit ruthlessly. That's what I suggest you always do, is edit ruthlessly. Okay, so I want to save this as a document, resources, Roseline Hare, revised. Okay, now I can close it. All right, let's see. I'm just looking to see if we have any questions in here. Rosaline said, yes, very helpful, thank you. And Barb says, I'm just now moving to AWeber from one shopping cart, so this is perfect timing. Let's see. Gayla says, I downloaded the documents from the links. Is there also a link to the templates? There was only the one template, Gayla, that you you had this morning. So let me see if I can... Well, here they are, right here. It is this email template, namsite.ws/email template. I'll put that in the question box as well. And let's see. The cheat sheet. Also in the question box. And here's Terry's link as well for his Autoresponder Alchemy course, which is awesome. I have this course. It is really, really detailed and good. Okay. So now we're going to come back over here, and I think we're going to move to... I've got another checklist that we're going to use on autoresponder setup. So this may be something that is helpful to you, but one of the things that I find is that writing autoresponders can be kind of tedious and difficult because it's very time consuming. So you want to see, would you like to see how to do these quickly and start with source material and build them into a process? Okay, I'm getting yeses here, so that's good. You were going to see it anyway if you didn't say yes, but I'm glad you said yes. So I've created a second spreadsheet here, not a spreadsheet, mind map here. This is how to use PLR and create an autoresponder content autoresponder series. Starting from source material. Now, you know I'm a big fan of PLR. As an old newspaper editor, one of the things that we did too was when a writer would start an article or a story, he would always start with the clips from before. He would go get the clips out of the morgue. So he would go get something and start writing from something that had been produced previously using quotes, people, those kind of things. So we would start with source material. So we would get some PLR email starters. It would be articles or it would be topics in your niche. And I've got some resources over here for you to go check these things out. We have a lot of it every month in the MyNAM system. And we have Easy PLR, Coach Glue, Business Content PLR, and Coaching PLR. These are sites where you can get business PLR. I'll add down here, I've got a couple of sources for self-help, health, and others as well. And I'll add those on here as well so that you can get good PLR for the niches that you're in. You should always check our site first, though, because you get those for free. You should be downloading those every month. And they're really high-quality material. Okay, so you drop your PLR in the source file. Now, I'm just going to walk through these steps. And then we will look at some that we're working on. Okay, so we drop the PLR in the source file. We keep the source untouched in the source folder. We move a copy to the working folder. That's really simple, right? You've gotten your PLR, you keep it in a source folder. So you are creating four folders in your computer. Let me show you an example of that. Let's see if I can do this right. Okay. So we have four folders here. I don't know why this one's here. But we have four folders in this, and it's hard to see. Oh, there it goes. That's good. Okay, so the first one is the source folder. And in here I've got 10 articles that were PLR. I have not changed these at all. These are the source files, and they are they will stay that way so that I know how they compare. And I know what we're doing to them so that we can go back to them at any point and see how we changed our articles to be our own. We updated them, we edited them, we did formatting changes, we did a lot of changes to them. Then you drop them into the working folder. So the working folder is empty because they've gone through the working folder already for us and are in a different state. So let me go back over here and show you what happens in the working folder. In the working folder, we figure out the order of the series. You notice that series had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in front of those articles. We added the 1, 2, 3s so that we could get the articles in the order that were logical for our autoresponder series. We didn't want to teach somebody something about one topic before they got to another topic if they weren't linear in their if they needed to be linear in their presentation. So, for example, we wouldn't teach you about hosting until we taught you about getting a domain, kind of thing. Okay, we want to review the PLR for accuracy. Are the statements, the links, the tools, are they accurate? Are they still relevant? Is the next step. Are they relevant? Do they make sense for what we're trying to do? Then we edit for content. Do we need to change them? How much? Do we rewrite? Do we make it our own? What's our voice? We'd make those changes. We add bold and italic formatting for emphasis. We add affiliate links. Now, the bold and italic formatting, by the way, is like I showed you with Rosaline's article. We highlight the benefits. We highlight the urgency. We highlight all of the stuff in those that we want to make sure that it communicates as you skim. We add affiliate links where appropriate. So these are autoresponder series that will be delivered to people on a daily basis. So when people are hitting these, we want to make sure that we got the affiliate links out there that people are making purchases all along the way. This is passive income. That's what we're doing with the autoresponders, passive income. We add the headline, which also becomes the AWeber subject line. We save the version, and we move it to the review folder. Okay. The review folder is where we do final edit. We confirm the links and we review it by a second editor. So if Angie's working on these for me, she'll do the final edit. I'll come in and do a second edit to make sure that it's got information in it that I trust and know, or make sure that it's there's not something in it that doesn't sound like me. We're doing this as a new process that we've set up on our system, and we've got a couple people working on this. I'll only be involved in this at this point on a more editorial basis than really a straight reviewer basis. A straight reviewer would be somebody who's not doing much editing, but just reviewing it to make sure that there's no issues in it, you know, that something stupid hasn't been left in it, or somebody wasn't malicious, or those kind of things. I'd like to have two editors who are working on these things at the same time. Then we move it to the completed folder. That's the fourth stage. The completed folder means that it's done. We're not going to edit it again. Now, we would only edit it again if we find in AWeber through our processes that it's not getting the kind of response that we need, and we might want to do some rewrite on it. So then we would move it back to the working folder if that was the case and start all over with that one. But in the completed folder, it's ready to now load into the AWeber, and we load them in order. We use a content template that we've created in AWeber, and we have a subject line. We add that in AWeber as the subject line and as the headline, both in AWeber. We precede the subject line with product name. These are autoresponders. Now, one of the things that we want to do is make sure that when somebody gets an email from us, they know why they've gotten it. And probably what I'm going to do is, let's see if I can give you an example here. Give you a subject line. In fact, what I'll do is take a subject line from this guy. Okay, let's see. Tools for success. Okay, this subject line is probably not one that we're going to use, because it doesn't say anything, right? So we've got two steps there, three steps. So I think we need to have probably a subject line that says three steps and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 tools. That help create passive income for you. Okay. So now this is not great. It's just off the top of my head, and I need those to be, just give me one moment here. I need that to be all caps, and not all caps, but consistent is what I need for that to be. And that will be consistent if I do that now. What I did just there, by the way, and you didn't see it, was I took this line out to my notepad, which has a little quick modify tool that lets me do a control K on it and capitalize every word in a sentence like that. So, three steps and nine tools that help you create passive income. Okay, that's a better subject line. Now, if I use that subject line, and this is for the passive income course, which was called Found Money, that's how they know it, Found Money. So I'm going to bracket this with Found Money, because that's the name of the course. That's the name of the product that we sent it to. So when they see that come through, they're going to know that any email that is in that bracket with Found Money and it is relevant to the course that they purchased. It's going to help them consume this course and consume these emails. It's also, you can set up, and it's an easy way, by the way, to set up a rule in your Outlook client and your email client so that you can create a folder and drop these emails into that folder automatically so you can always have them. Okay, so that's how we would do that. That is, and you'll notice in this, we have each of the steps is bolded. We have links already in here. I'm writing these in Word. We've written these in Word. We have created a format for this course so that each step has an assignment. Each step has an assignment. And at the end of each assignment, or at the end of each step, we're telling people what they need to do next. People like direction. They like structure. They like to know what's next. So that's what we're doing here, is telling people what's next. Go to the free keyword tool at Word Tracker and find your keywords. So that needs to be more specific there. So go to the free keyword tool and find your niche specific keywords. Collect the top 50 keywords. Okay. All right. And so let's see. That's pretty much. Oh, and then the other thing I've created is down here. I've got a signature snippet which we will create in AWeber that will change whenever I want it to change to tell people what the latest promotion is. So that'll always be something current. It's almost like having a broadcast inside the autoresponder. So that'll always be updated every time they send out an email. So if I sent this email out to somebody today, it would be different than when I send it out in 3 months to somebody via the autoresponder system. That's what that little snippet is about at the bottom. And it's something you can set up in AWeber. Okay? All right. So that's what this process is about. Now, I hope this is helpful. We're not done yet. Sorry. So we got the subject line. It went through the subject line. We preceded the subject line with the product name. We add a salutation. All of mine start with "Hey there." "Hey there" first name. "Hey there" first name. All of mine start with "Hey there." I just want people to have a consistency with me. And everything ends in mine with peace and prosperity. And so I try to do some kind of consistency so that they know who I am and they can always relate to that. And then you load it in AWeber and you distribute it by days. The first one arrives on 0 days, and then the additional ones arrive in 2 day increments or whatever you decide. It doesn't have to be every one is 2 days apart. You can do the next one is at 2 days, the next one's at 3 days, the next one's at 4 days. You can do it however you want. So this checklist will be, I think, pretty helpful for you in setting up your autoresponder system. And once you do this for your niche, so for example, if you have, let me show you again. We have we're building autoresponders for the passive income course that we created, right? So that's what this is all about. We've set this up for passive income. The next one that we're going to work on is the autoresponders for the Google Plus course. We have autoresponders for our affiliates that we're working on. We have autoresponders for list building that we're working on. And I have written some emails already that we are going to use as, and so I write my emails in Word so that I can drop the emails into here and use those wherever they are, whenever they're appropriate, so I can reuse that information. If it was a special offer, I'll take the special offer part out unless it's something I can do a special offer on for specific products. So that's how that'll work. Okay, we're coming up to the end of the day here for this workshop, and I want to go over and show you some stuff in AWeber. Is that all right to do that next? Okay. Okay, so let me save this. Let me see where we are here. Okay, so what we're doing, the execute piece of this is all about writing these emails the way we've shown you through this part. So I'm really, in the execute, I'm just going to refer you back to here. I'm just going to refer you back to Rosaline's email, and I'll have a link to that. And implementing broadcast and autoresponder creation. Okay. So now I want to show you AWeber. Come over here. I should have had this open already, but I didn't. Okay. Now, the first thing I want to do is show you broadcasting. Let's see. Oh, this is what I wanted to tell you. So if I go to all my list, I click on all my lists. I got about 80 lists here. Some have zero in them. Some have a lot. Some have 10. You know, it doesn't really matter how many's in the list. It is all about how we are organizing this. So you notice DP Main has two subscribers and two unsubscribes. Two unsubscribes. These are my test emails, and I have unsubscribed those from there. DP Main, it will never have more than two subscribers in it. Both of those are me. This is a list that I don't use for anything else except sending broadcast. So when I write my emails, I'm always writing from the DP Main broadcast. Now, when we talk about evergreen and what are the four kinds of lists that we talk about? We talk about the evergreen list, the buyer's list, the evergreen being a list that everybody is on. The buyer's list is the product-specific buyer's list, or all of your buyers. The prospect-only list and your affiliates. And there's really a fifth one that is like your best customers list, right? When we talk about evergreen, this is what I want to show you. So let's see, I'm going to create a broadcast here. And at first I hated AWeber's template system because I was really good at their old, email HTML creator. Mainly because I wrote my emails in something else and I just copied the HTML and dropped it in. It took me a long time to finally try this. And when I did finally try it, I realized I liked it. So now I'm using it. So this is the, you can see this is the DP Main. I'm in DP Main up here. So this is the template that I'm going to use. This is the NAM single promo, or the monthly member benefits is my two templates that I have. That's this template here. It has an article in it, a sample headline, and just some basic stuff, right? And this is our bottom footer content that is always the same. Okay. So now I'm going to open this also in another window. Let me come back over here, and I'm controlling and clicking so I can open that one, because I want to go to the one that we did. I'm actually going to broadcast this now, show you how it works. So I'm going to go to this email that I just sent about, when did I send it? At 2:15 p.m. really? Okay. So I've opened this email in another list. You can see here the stats on it. It was 46.92 were sent. We got three bounces, no complaints. That's great. And we got the opens here. So what I'm going to do is open this direct link down here to bring that email up in another window. And you notice I'm creating new tabs up here so I can have all these things available at my fingertips, right? Now, here is opened and unopened. I'm only interested in unopened. And I'm going to grab the unopens here. And I'm going to send directly. There's 42,800 that didn't open this. I just sent this email about an hour and a half ago. So I'm going to send directly to these subscribers, and I'm going to create a segment. And I'm going to call it Email Marketing Mastery Unopened 1. Okay. And I'm going to say send to segment. Now I get a new form open. I'm going to leave this one here open because I'm coming back to this one as well. Okay, I'm going to use that template. And remember, I opened my email over here in the archive. So this is the one that just went out. So I can grab this and I can come down and grab it all the way to there. This is I know that this is the Read More section of my template, so I don't want that. And I will drop it in here. Now I've got that email exactly the way it was originally in there. I add my sample headline here. And that was what I use here for the sample headline, by the way, is my salutation. So I add there, hey there, first name. So that's that. The headline that I wanted was my fingers are numb from typing so fast. So I'm going to bring that over here and get that. And again, what I did was put that in my notepad, turned it into text, and I'm coming back to this. I'm going to drop it in up here and put it in here. And I'm going to make it a little bit bigger, like about 28. Okay, so there's my headline. That's also my subject. It's a broadcast. My fingers are typing so fast. And the read more, if you remember correctly, the read more over here said, yep, I want to learn more about email marketing. So that was the basically the call to action. And I've copied that, put it in my note tab so I can bring it over here. And if I click on read more, I'm going to change that to, yep, I want to learn more about email marketing. This is my link. And the link was EMI. Okay. Tells me that's a good link. Okay. Now, I could put a picture here if I want to. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I put a picture over the top. That's Article 2. Picture goes over the top. In this case, I'll do no picture. Okay. Now I'm going to send this. So I do next. I've got my Facebook and my Twitter hooked up, so it's going to go out to both of those. And when I click next, I come over here. I'm sending to this segment, right? This was my unopened segment. So now what I'm going to do is not click any of these lists, because all of those people are already designated as being in this segment. So I don't have to click any of the list. And then I would save the message. Or I could schedule it over here. Schedule it for another date, another time. Okay. Now I want to show you what I would do if I wanted to broadcast that message out in a different way, not using the segment. I wanted you to see the segment part. Okay, so here it is. This will be sent to this segment, and all I have to do is schedule it or send it now. I can click send it now and it'll go. Okay, so now I'm going to go back over here to this one, and I wanted to show you a broadcast test. Okay. And you know what? I'm just going to leave that the way it is, just so I can show you, because what I want to show you is the list part. I want to get to the evergreen, the buyers, and the list segments, because people, I got confused about this for a long time. So I'm coming over here. I need to switch that so that is the default. And I'm coming over here. Now, okay, this is going to go to all subscribers because it's DP main, right? But I only have two people in there. It's my list is DP main. I only have two people. Both of those are me. So if I want to send to anybody else, I have to include or exclude them. So this is what I use for my targeted email. I always send from DP main, and if I want to include everybody on my list as evergreen, all I do is click that. That gets everybody on my different list. So everybody's going to get the email. If they're on multiple lists, it gets deduped. So there's only one, you should be getting only one email for per email address. Okay? Now, let's say that I wanted this to be only, in fact, I did this earlier today. I only want this to go to everybody who is not an insider. So I don't want insiders to get this email, which is offering them the insider subscription, right? The membership. So I don't want to market to people who already have the product. So I can click this, and that says I'm going to send, they're not excluded, by the way, I'm just not going to send this to the list, to that list. Now, the difference is, well, let's start with the excluded first. Okay, I'm going to click excluded. That means anybody who has an email address in this doesn't receive this email at all. If you have an email address in and you are a MindNAMS Insider member, you will not receive this email because I am telling the system, do not send to anybody who's in this list. Okay? If I uncheck that and I've got them both unchecked here, right? What it's going to do is send not to this list. It won't send to this list. But if you have an email in this list and you have an email in the Brandable Reports list, you're still going to get it because I didn't exclude you. I just excluded that list. I didn't exclude you specifically. That's what the difference is between checking and not checking here. So if I wanted to exclude everybody on the Insiders group, I click exclude. Now I have additional niche list in here. So for example, Southern Girls is my wife's blog, football blog. It has a few people who are crossovers. We have a few people here who are on her football blog and are also in MindNAMS. But most of the people there are not in MindNAMS. They're mostly football fans and mostly Charles's friends and the list that she's building. So I never exclude it, though, because folks there are in both systems. Okay, so I uncheck Southern Girls because I want it to go to people if they are in other lists, but I don't exclude them. And this one is a different list for me as well, so I uncheck that one. So that way I'm sending to a very specific list now. Again, now, if I wanted to send to workshop only people, I would uncheck everybody. And I wanted to send to my NAMS workshop people and say, you know, the NAMS workshop is coming up. And have you got your ticket yet? In fact, I need to write that email. And I'm going to send it to everybody who has NAMS workshop. Let's see. Yeah. That would be everybody there who has been to a past workshop. I'm going to send them an email and say the next workshop is coming up. So that's a way of targeting these previous buyers because I know these are buyers' lists. Now, if I was really smart, and I'm not that smart from the beginning organization, I learn things as I go. If I was really smart, I would have to go back to these lists and I would put some kind of designator in front of each one. So I would have like buy-NAMS1, buy-NAMS10 videos, buy-NAMS11 workshop. So, but I didn't do that. And that would keep them organized by alphabet in here. And that would make me, I may end up renaming all of these lists so that I can do that. So I have prospect lists that are called out, and I have buyers lists that are called out, and I have workshop lists and those different kind of segmented lists by name. But what I want to make sure you understand is that evergreen is everybody in every list. It's not that I have one list that everybody gets dumped into. It's everybody in every list. And I can get to everybody just by clicking include. Okay. Now, if I wanted to just do December deals, there's December deals. I would just send out to the December deals people. That And each of these should have their own autoresponder system. So if you have a bunch of our products, you might get a bunch of emails from us over a period of time because we have multiple autoresponder systems going. Okay? So is that helpful to understanding how to use this list segmenting process for email marketing? Yes, no? Do you have any questions about this? Arthur says, how do you deduplicate your AWeber messages so people don't receive multiple emails? Okay, AWeber actually takes care of that. If you're using one email address in your system, in our system, then you're going to get one email address, or one email. If you're using multiple email addresses, and a lot of people do because they don't keep track of what email addresses they're using, if you have multiple email addresses, you're going to get multiple emails. And about the only way to do that is to unsubscribe from one of the from one of those. But you want to make sure that if you unsubscribe, you don't unsubscribe from your buyers list. You want to unsubscribe from any prospecting or whatever. So that's that. Gayla, you're asking if I use AW Pro Tools. I do use AW Pro Tools. I don't use it specifically for managing my list just yet, and I'm planning to move extensively into that. AW Pro Tools is kind of a behind-the-scenes API to help you manage these lists and manage your subscribers in different places and give them control to move back and forth. And we're going to be doing more of that as well. It's a great tool. This has taken me a year, really, to understand our strategy for our list management and our email marketing strategy. You've seen AWeber funnels. Probably you've seen that. I can show you that again, but I really think that this is what I wanted to get to today, was to show you how to, in AWeber, to manage this better. So does that make sense to people? Everything looking good here? Okay. CC says, thanks for the invaluable information. Walking us through step by step through the email template helped me understand how to write one more clearly. Also, the AWeber training helped me so much. I thought I knew what I was doing. Okay, yeah, Gayla says it's great. Okay, let's talk about the AWeber template for a second. I want to show you this. When I found out what this could do, I was really kind of excited. So, okay, I'm going to dump this article here. And I'm going to add this article. I'm going to add an article up here. I'm going to add a picture up here. I'm going to add a rule, a divider at the bottom. Okay. So what I've done is go with an article. I've got a picture here. I've got, I could add my logo. I could add a coupon. I could add a product. I could add a signature. I'm going to add, I put an article back up there. I don't want an article. I want a paragraph. I'm going to put a paragraph here. So if I wanted to keep if I wanted to create multiple context article email, I can do that with multiple items here. And I just start dragging and dropping. Here's my headline for that. Here's another paragraph down here. It really is a drag and drop system. Another headline there. Let's put a button at the bottom of this one. And see, I can use a create. I can actually add a custom image. I can browse the gallery. I know we've got one here. Okay. And change that link. Well, I don't have to change that link. We're not doing anything. So there's my custom image. I can resize that image to be a little bit more like that. There's my article. There's my buy button. I would link to the buy button there. I can add a picture by browsing the gallery, let's say. Okay, there's the lifetime sale that we did. There's the image for that. So see quickly, I have made multiple items here. Let's add another picture here. Or I'll tell you what let's do. Let's do it this way. Let's add an article here under that headline. That article I changed to a 1. I can browse the gallery. Go with that guy. And there's an article. And now I'm going to do another divider here. Oops, didn't want to do that. Do another divider. Go to the bottom so I can grab the divider. Bring it in here. There's my divider. And that's that. So I could actually add a coupon too. Pretty cool, huh? So that's a lot of stuff you can do. That's like 30 seconds of messing around with AWeber, and I can build a pretty quick newsletter. Okay. Anything else about this you'd like to see? I don't know AWeber as well as I need to, but we're not going to get into the automation or any of the other stuff like that today, but for email marketing, you can do a ton. Oh, we've got like 3 or 4 or 5 minutes here, so I want to show you the messages. So here is follow-up series. Leave this page. Okay, so I can create a follow-up, a new. It's pretty much the same template system. Okay, and we're going to use this. And we'll just leave it like it is. I'm going to just say test. And this is for DP main, right? Yep, good. Okay. And then I'm going to come over here and save it. Go to next. Now, this is different. When you go to next from one of the follow-up messages, you get to choose the number of days after the previous that you want this one to go out. You can choose, like I can, if this was the very first message, I would want it to be 0. I'd want it to go out immediately. If it was the second message, I might want it to go out 2 days. So I would put 2 days in there. And then if the third message was going to go out at 3 days, after this one, I would put 3 days in there. Okay? Or if I didn't want it to go out on weekends, I could actually say only send this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I can tell what time to send it is the best time to send. So I could say I want this to go between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. And then I would add that. And then I could send, I could create an additional window if I wanted for when this could go out. Let's see. Okay, so send messages based on the subscriber's local time. I could do that. And apply these days and times to all messages. I could do that. Okay, so then I could save and exit. Come on. And boom. There is my second message right there, ready to go. And it's message number 2. It's going to go out Monday to Friday, 6 to 8, 9 a.m. Send it 2 days after the previous message, spam score 0. And I can follow along there and see how that message is doing. Now, once you get your autoresponder series set up, and Terry said he monitored his reports so that he could, I'm going to delete this, so that he could know what's working for him. So the reports are here. Under this tab, you just click Reports. And then you look at your opens. You can look at your new subscribers, your new clicks, your unsubscribes, all that information, and it'll tell you all along the way when your best days are, what, how many you send out, what your follow-ups are. Here are the follow-ups that are going out and how many have been opened on those follow-ups. And let's see, ad tracking. You can do ad tracking, which is pretty cool. Follow-up totals. Follow-ups is something that we're working on as fast as possible because it's a huge piece of the passive income model. So, oh, and I'm on DP Main, so you have to grab your specific list that you want people to go to. So I don't think I actually have something I want to show you right now from follow-ups. Maybe this one, 6 Steps to Big Ideas. These are prospect lists. Okay, so this tells you that we have unique opens and total opens on this message on these. Yeah, they're different messages, open rates, those kind of things. Okay, that's that. I think we covered a lot today, do you? Yeah, Rob says, thanks, I'm learning lots. Great, Rob, that's what this is for. I hope these step-by-step things really help you guys implement your own systems and get them moving. Yeah, time to apply it all, Gayla says. So we've walked through a lot of the implementation steps today that you need to take, so this afternoon. So follow the checklist, go back through the things that Terry told you about and that we worked on in both the Email Marketing Mastery mind map. You'll get a copy of this mind map as well. I'm going to clean it up. I typed very fast this morning. My email was not lying. I typed very fast, and I'll try to clean it up, get rid of the misspellings, and organize it a little bit better. And I'll put in the extra links to things that we need to have. And I'll also make sure that you get the autoresponder series with the additional resources over here as well. So I hope that helps. Okay, great. I'm glad you guys enjoyed this. Arthur, thank you for the great compliment. I thought it was a really good one. I thought it was the best one we've done even before lunch. So even in part one, I thought it was the best one we've done. And this one is outstanding. So I'm ready to rock and roll. I hope you guys have a great one. And look for this in your box, in your subscription, active subscriptions in the next day or two. If you're watching this and you are not a MyNAMS member, you need to be. Because MyNAMS, we do this every month in the MyNAMS Insiders Club. And we tackle different topics every month and go in deep. And we do the discovery session and the implementation sessions, and you get a really sweet deal on these because these are included in your Insiders Club membership. So thank you very much. If you're interested in MyNAMS, you can go to nams.ws/MNIC, all lowercase, M as in my, N, NAMS, Insider Club, IC. Talk to you soon. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.